Today's scripture, Psalm 65. Praise awaits you, our God in Zion. To you our vows will be fulfilled. You who answers prayers, to you all people will come. When we were overwhelmed by sin, you forgave our transgressions. Blessed are those you choose and bring near to live in your courts. We are filled with the good things of your house, of your holy temple. Your answer to us, you answer us with awesome and righteous deeds. God our Savior, the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the furthest seas, who formed the mountains by power, having armed yourself with strength, who stilled the roaring of the seas, the roaring of the waves, and the turmoil of the nations. The whole earth is filled with awe at your wonders. Where morning dawns, where evening fades, you call forth songs of joy. You care for the land and water it. You enrich it abundantly. The stream of God are filled with water to provide people with grain, for so you have ordained it. You drench its furrows and levels its ridges. You soften it with showers and bless its crops. You crown the years with your bounty, and your carts overflow with abundance. The grasslands of wilderness overflow. The hills are clothed with gladness. The meadows are covered with flocks, and the valleys are mantled with grain. They shout for joy and sing. This is the word of the Lord.
For the last number of weeks, we've been looking at the book of Joshua, considering new beginnings, and we'll pick that up again next week. But for Thanksgiving, we are taking a week off to specifically focus on God's goodness and to have a thankful spirit. So we are reminded that Thanksgiving, a spirit of gratitude, is really central to our faith journey. In fact, as one psychologist who's a Christian writes, we cannot be healthy people unless we are grateful people. We can't be. Gratitude is that key. So over and over and over in Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament, we're reminded to be thankful, to be grateful. And we recognize that that is a choice. It's something that we have to choose to do amidst the challenges that we live within, because life can be tough, is tough for many people. And we can choose to focus on what's not going right, what is negative, where we want to see fixed. And that can easily become our viewpoint, can be our outlook. And we're invited to not go that way, even though the circumstances can be challenging and often are, but we're reminded to give praise and be grateful for all those things we can be. So that's a choice. That's up to you and me. And so on this holiday weekend, which really comes out of our secular calendar, Thanksgiving is something that the state has acknowledged. It doesn't come out of the church as such. But it's a wonderful holiday where the two connect, where we are mindful of God's goodness and we are thankful and we celebrate. So that's our challenge. And that can be a challenge, because you can be here and wondering, you know, about all kinds of other things and stressors that are going on in your life, and you may not feel particularly grateful. So for this psalmist here writes to remind us of these things. So that's our invitation. And it seems, as I said earlier, that a drought and perhaps even a famine was the context. In that part of the world, in those days anyway, one depended on rain. It's much like the highlands in Bolivia. There is farming at lots of places, typically potatoes. But it's all dependent on rain. There is no irrigation there. If the rains don't come, the crops don't yield. That's it. And so the farmers have to get and wait on that rain, that little bit of rain that comes in a very dry country for much of it. And that's what was going on in these days. There wasn't a lot of irrigation. And so they planted, They waited for the rains that came. They typically came in the spring and they came in the fall. And if they don't come, they're in a hard place. And seems that, as we go later and we see all the references to water in the Thanksgiving, that the psalmist is giving praise because the rains finally come. And so it's his context. You can imagine drought. Southern California has had a drought for about 6 years. And now there's discussion that that may now actually be the new normal. They're beginning to anticipate that it won't come back the way they once knew it. And so how do we get into the rhythm that this is now the new reality? If you live in Southern California, they're thinking of changing all the crop patterns and everything because it's just not going to come back. And so that's the situation here. And interesting that the prayer obviously is to Yahweh because Baal was the storm god. Baal was the god of the Canaanites because they recognized this issue of water all the time. And so they had their own god, Baal, who they cried out to, who they thought would bring the storms. So it's interesting that in this psalm, the reference clearly is to Yahweh we give thanks, not to Baal, not to the storm god, but to a real God, a true God who cares for his people. That's the context as we go. So as we start, it's interesting that the psalmist, though, doesn't begin there. He doesn't jump right to the immediate need. In fact, it doesn't come until the end of the psalm. What the psalmist begins with is a statement recognizing who God is and a focus on grace, a focus on mercy, a focus on love, and a focus on forgiveness. And so in the first two verses, you note the references. It's all to God, to you. It just repeats in those verses, you. You can see that second person, you. Praise is due to you, O God in Zion, and to you shall vows be performed. O you who answer prayer, to you all flesh shall come. So it's a recognition right off the bat. We're not praying to Yahweh. We're not praying to Baal. We're not praying to the storm god. We are praying to Yahweh, the true God. He is the one we are coming to. And we praise him particularly for his mercy and his kindness. We see that in verse 3 and 4. When deeds of iniquity overwhelm us, you forgive our transgressions. Happy are those whom you choose and bring near to live in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, your holy deeds. When deeds of iniquity overwhelm us, you forgive our transgressions. So when iniquity overwhelms us, you get the sense of that. It's a very powerful reality. It's speaking of when we are caught up in sin in a big way. It's not just a little stumbling. When we are overwhelmed, we come to God and we recognize that he is there for us and he reveals himself to us as a forgiving, loving, kind God, the psalmist begins with. So it's not simply, as I note there, a judicial sense of, you know, I've committed a wrong, it's a legality, and now I'm asking you to forgive me, but it's a complete covering. I'm asking you to cover me with your mercy and with your kindness and your love and for us as a nation. So forgiveness is where we always begin. Mercy is where we begin. Kindness is where we begin. Even in our specific situations, we're reminded that God is a good God and he is there for us. And so forgiveness is important, I think, because in many ways, but one way is it makes us vulnerable. When I ask for forgiveness, when you ask for forgiveness, you're opening your heart up to an individual and we are opening our hearts up to God and we are asking him to move in our midst, in our lives. And it overcomes that tendency to complacency and to hardness. God, forgive me. Help me to be in a relationship with you. And that's really the point. That the walls of separation fall. That God, I want to be in true relationship with you. I have needs. I'm going to get to those needs. But I want to know that I'm okay with you. And that you are there for me That even as I pray, I make my vows, verse 1 and 2, I make my vows to a God who forgives me and is merciful and is generous and caring. That's the statement. So it's always a reminder that God is a gracious God. He is there for us. We can ask, you know, what does God want from us? He wants this relationship of intimacy. What do we want? I think finally we want to be known in a full and complete way, and God is that God for us. We want that intimacy with God. But sin gets in the way, and we all recognize our sin, all the things that have happened in the past. In some ways, I feel sorry for Donald Trump right now. This is why 10 years ago a video was made, or a tape, right? You've heard all this. It's been all over the news, and somebody recorded him. Well, that's unfortunate. But that was 10 years ago. And I'm not saying that, you know, I mean, that obviously was a bad thing, and I'm not voting for Trump. If I was voting, I wouldn't be voting for him. But nevertheless, you know, we all have things in our lives 10 years ago that somebody could be playing a tape on, and we would all feel, you know, that's not too cool. We've all blown it. We've all messed up. In some ways, we could probably say the same for Hillary. Something's probably happened in her life, too, in some ways. For all of us. The tapes are played. And the beauty is that God is there, and He, for our own lives, He is merciful, and He is kind, and He's loving. And He erases the old tapes. Isn't that a good thing? For us, He erases the old tapes. The Bible says He throws all of our sin into the ocean, and they are gone, and down to the very depths. That's beautiful. And so the psalmist reminds us of that. He reminds us that we are forgiven, and that He is merciful, and He is kind. That's where he begins. And then from there, it's like he can now say, okay, now we're ready to begin. And now we can praise God because I know what he's done for me. And he praises him for all of his might and all of his power. And you see all the verbs. You can read through that yourself instead of me reading all the text. But God establishes, he stills, he makes, he visits, or it can be translated cares. He enriches, provides, waters, crowns. He does all that for us. It doesn't just appear. God has done this for us. It's all of God's goodness. It's his entire creation. It's like an eagle. This summer when we were out west, I saw lots of bald eagles. We were on the west coast of Vancouver Island, and there were two, a pair that were essentially right out in front of where we were, you know, a couple of hundred yards away, but you could see them flying back and forth through the whole time we were there. These great, great birds, wingspan of 6 feet. That's big, eh? This big. And when they fly, they just soar. They soar. And they can soar for the longest distance. And it's like this great eagle is flying and peering over creation and just seeing all that God has done. And he goes on and he sees the mountains. He sees the oceans. He gives praise to God. God is praised for all of that. But the beauty is that when we have God in one spot, we have him in the whole. When we know we are his children, we are his sons and daughters in that moment, then all of creation opens up for us because we are his sons and his daughters and his children, and we give praise to God. So note, praise is God for the mountains. Praise God for the oceans. I love verse 8 because parts of God's creation are mentioned as signs. In the NRSV, it says, those who live at earth's farthest bounds are awed by your signs. And what are the signs? You make the gateways of the morning and the evening shout for joy. What that means is the dawn, every time the sun comes up, it's a sign from God, the psalmist says, of his goodness and his amazing. It's not just the earth rotates and now we see the sun. This is a gift from God. And not only the sunrise, but the sunset. So every day we have two amazing signs that remind us of God's goodness and his love and his power. It would probably be really cool if we could get up every morning and go down to the lake and watch the sun rise. And we went down there in the evening and saw it set. It would remind us of God's power and his presence, his might, so the psalmist says. God is daily present in his creation. He gives thanks. And it leads us to this reality of enjoying wonder and praising God for his wonderful creation. Because in our world of utility, we tend to get dull to that. And we get stuck in the city, in our urban living, and we see just all the traffic and all the commute time, and we get frustrated and uptight. And we get dulled to the beauty and the wonder. You know, we're actually living on one of the great lakes in the entire world. One of the largest freshwater lakes in the planet. It's just like a kilometer from here. It's amazing. But we can get dulled to that, right? We can get dulled to it all. We become wonderless instead of wonderful and praising God for his wonders. And that's what this psalmist is reminding us to do. So on Thanksgiving, it's terrific if you can get outside and enjoy God's creation. The Humber River right here. Have you ever walked down the Humber River? How many people out here have walked down the Humber River? Okay, lots of you. Very good. That's great. Because that's an amazing walk down there. If we all went down there right now, you know what? That would be a beautiful thing. And we'd all walk and we'd see the water flowing and the trees changing. And there'd be a sense of peace right here in Weston. Because God is this wonderful God. Again, when we were out west, it was interesting. The place that we were staying had a telescope. And I don't know much about telescopes, but Clifford was there, and he's all over telescopes. So he gets this telescope that was inside, obviously not hardly ever used because it was lacking screws and so on, but somehow we got it out on the patio outside, and we looked up. And he got it all figured out, and he put it on the planet Saturn. And it was amazing. And you look through the telescope, and there it was, this little jewel out there, and the rings around Saturn were just completely clear. The planet and its rings, just there. And I was amazed. Like, here we're standing on Earth, and we have a connecting point with another planet, which is a long way away. And there we were connected, here to there, God's creation. And it's like God is saying, you know what? Let's put rings around this planet. No other planet's got rings that we know of. Let's put rings around it. Won't that be cool? And then people one day will be able to see that and just enjoy it. You look over at Mars, we did that too. No rings for Mars. It's a little reddish, that's kind of cool, but no rings. Red rings. So, you know, it's amazing. It's great. So can we enjoy, can we be filled with God's wonder? That's what the psalmist is saying. So he begins with grace and mercy, and then he moves to this reality of God's power, God's wonder, the oceans, the mountains, the beauty. Before the service, I was talking to Anand, and Anand's got 3 days off the next 3 days, and he's going to go on a road trip. So I'm starting thinking, well, I know Ontario better than Anand, so I'm going to suggest some places. Everywhere I suggested he's been to already. Why don't you go to Ottawa? I've been there. Cool, I've been there. How about Thunder Bay? Oh, I've been there. He's like, he's been everywhere, man. Out enjoying God's creation, that's a beautiful thing. So can we be filled with wonder? That's what the psalmist is doing. And then finally, he gets to the issue at hand, which is praising God for his provision. Praising God for this immediate situation, and you can see the repetition on the words water as we move ahead on Psalm 65. Note verses 9 and 10. You visit or care for the earth and water it, number one. You greatly enrich it. The river of God, too, is full of water. You provide the people with grain, for so you have prepared it. Again, verse 10. You water its furrows abundantly, setting its ridges, softening it with showers, again, rain, and blessing its growth. So there's this repetition Like when God waters the planet, that's a beautiful gift. They're looking for one drop of water on the planet Mars. One drop. And here we have 70% of the planet covered with beautiful water. It's a gift, man. It's a beautiful gift of God, which we are invited to enjoy and recognize, because from it, we have God's provision. And then God's care is demonstrated. So as it moves on, you can see the different parts of creation personified as if they are giving praise to God. Note in verses 11 and 12, 13. You crown the year with your bounty. Your wagon tracks overflow with richness. The image there is a cart that is just overflowing with fruits and vegetables, so much so that they're falling off as it moves along. It's overflowing. They're tumbling off God's abundance. And then note, the pastures of the wilderness overflow. The pastures. And the hills gird themselves with joy. And the meadows clothe themselves with flocks. And the valleys deck themselves with grain. These parts of creation are personified. The hills and the valleys and the pastures, the meadows, they give praise to God. So it's a recognition of God's beauty and God's goodness to us, His love for us. Hiking out west, there was one hike called the Meadows, the Alpine Meadows. So I thought I'd like to go up and hike up there. And the good thing is they trucked you up there for most of the way. It was great. You pay your few bucks. It was actually about 30 bucks. You pay your bucks, and they take you up in a truck to almost where the meadows are, because it's going up thousands of feet. Then you finally get off, and then you do have to hike for a while, but then you're up there. You're up in the Alpine Meadows, and you just hike through the snows and the lakes. It's absolutely terrific, and there are little flowers popping up, and they're giving praise to God. The meadows giving praise. When I saw that, I thought, yeah, wow. The meadows and the lakes here are really giving praise. And they're praising because the nation here is giving thanks for God's provision. So that brings us full circle back to the point of thanksgiving. Will we be thankful for a fertile earth? Will we be thankful for the Holland Marsh just north of the city that is amazing for giving the city of Toronto vegetables? Are we thankful for the Niagara area where all the fruits come from? That's what the psalmist is saying. Around the Sea of Galilee, it's very fertile because of the water. And even back then, they were able to draw some of the water out and do some irrigation. It was like a little jewel. Around that area of the Sea of Galilee, everything grows, then and now. Praising God for God's beautiful creation and the fertility of the planet. And the psalmist gives praise. So will indeed we have thankful hearts. So as we close, we see some points of application. And the first piece I'm suggesting is that creation is to not to be seen simply as a commodity to be used. Because the Bible never presents it that way. Creation is part of our world, obviously, and we are in a dynamic with it. We live in communication with our planet, and we have a responsibility to care for it. We are not independent of it. We live with creation. We are part of creation. It's not simply a commodity. So it's something that we are to praise God for and live in that reality. It's so easy, right? You go to a supermarket, and it's all there, and we can just think it all appeared. I'll grab my whatever I want and go. But there's all a lot of work that gets it there, and clearly it all comes from God's earth somewhere. So not simply a commodity. Secondly, we do not live autonomous lives. It is not me apart from creation, but me living and you living as part of this planet. And if there is severe drought, let's say that in southern Ontario, we would begin to feel that very quickly. That we are suffering even as the planet suffers. And we need God's watering. We need God's care. We are not autonomous. We are not autonomous in all kinds of areas in our life. We're not just isolated individuals. It's a blessing to be connected to your family. It's a blessing to be part of this faith community right here. All the dynamics in the relationship of this body encourage us and feed us and help us. Here we are as part of this greater community. All those kinds of relationships. We are not isolated, autonomous individuals, but we're part of it. And that leads us to this final piece, is that in terms of our theology, Thanksgiving is central, is what we said at the beginning. It's a theological point that God has worked for us, He loves us, His Son has died for us so that we might know Him here and now and also for all time, forever. This is a theological point, and we have grateful hearts. We have grateful hearts here and now, and we have grateful hearts forever in spite of the hassles we're having at the moment. In spite of somebody at work who might be treating you badly, in spite of problems at home, in spite of health issues, in spite of money issues, and we all have them at one degree or not. In spite of all that, we're invited to be grateful and to be thankful, and that comes back to your choice. It comes back to you saying yes, and it comes back to me saying yes. Do we see the cup half full or half empty? It's up to us to see that. Everybody has them. Everybody has these challenges. So can we have thankful hearts and grateful hearts and not grumbling hearts, but hearts that recognize God's goodness and say yes to Him? That's our invitation. So that's what this psalmist is saying in this psalm. Israel, have grateful hearts. Remember what God is doing. Even when we don't have enough rain, God is still there. And when we get the rain, give praise. Give praise to God. When the rains come, good rains in your life, don't forget. So when you have your turkey this weekend sometime maybe, let's give praise to God. Praise Him for His abundance. In Jesus' name, amen.